Welcome to New Human Living Radio Show, bringing you powerful interviews to awaken the power in you. Learn more at newhumanliving.com. And now your host, Les Jensen.
Hello and welcome to the show tonight. I hope my voice holds out. It's been a little raspy lately, but we're going to go for it anyway. And before we get started, I want to wish everyone a happy Thanksgiving. Here in the United States, Thanksgiving is tomorrow, and I like the idea of being thankful for what you have. Our show tonight is about finding your own personal nirvana. Your own personal nirvana. This is an idea that I've been thinking about for a while now, and I'm going to like where we go with this tonight. You know, one of the favorite books I have that I've never read, it's this big, thick book, and the name is Mythology, just Mythology, and it's loaded with examples of how human beings have shared their ideas of what their culture believes in, about the mythology of their era of living here on planet Earth. And you can leaf through the pages and see the starkly different representations of belief systems, of ideology. And for every single one of them, there's a sincere acceptance, if you will, of that mythology, of that ideology. So here we are living on a planet, a beautiful planet, a wonderful planet. And if you look at what's playing out in the media, in the headlines, sometimes it can seem like it's loaded with turmoil and frustration and suffering and the idea of bringing heaven to earth can seem a little far out there, like it's a stretch. But actually, heaven is available to us at any time in our journey. Heaven is when we talk about when we're living in a nirvana, in order for that to be a real experience, it has to include our human nature. Heaven by itself is an ideology of the creation of everything. But what I want to focus on is finding our own nirvana, being a point of presence, if you will, of the idea of heaven personified, the idea of heaven embodied within your own experience, finding your own nirvana. When I say your own nirvana, that own part is you owning what that nirvana looks like. You know, in that mythology book, there's these little self-contained chapters about each mythology. And they don't necessarily reflect the other ideas in the book. They're standalone ideas of what their experience was. And yet, every one of them was expressed with such a sincere belief, with such a sincere conviction of the nature of how things are. And the diversity of the stories in that book of mythology shines a light on how we experience life. There's billions of people on the planet, and if they were all to write down a paragraph or two about how they're experiencing life on this planet, every one of those paragraphs would have a unique signature, a unique story, a unique perspective as to the nature of life here on Earth. So when we talk about the idea of heaven on Earth or our own nirvana, it's not going to be a description. It's not going to be a definition where it's rigid and absolute, where we all try to fit ourselves into it, but rather when you read the description of heaven, the person embodying the heaven is sharing the experience of heaven through their own persona, through their own being. And as such, there's not one ideology, there's not one chapter that fits every single person. It's not intended to be that way. Heaven on Earth is when individuals like you and like me embody our truth, embody the totality of our beings, where we're genuinely free to express the individual passion and living our individual purpose, enjoying the process, enjoying the journey. Heaven is an experience as much as a state of consciousness. The two play off of each other. So if we go to talk about the nature of my own nirvana, my own heaven, what would that look like? I think it would serve us well to consider the nature of the scale of human consciousness. There's so many people on this planet, and if you were to consider how every one of us would describe what it's like to live on this planet, we'd have such starkly different descriptions. As you drive around society, as you drive through the culture of your place on Earth, you can see people experiencing completely different arenas of human consciousness. There's homeless people, people who are barely surviving. There's blue collar and white collar, to take an economic point of view. There's political arenas, and there's social arenas and religious arenas. And every one of these has a attribute or a signature influence over the people who are engaged in experiencing that mythology. Human consciousness is a scale of how we can experience our life. At the bottom of the scale, or shall we say in the darkness, the farthest away from the truth, we have a sense of separation. We have a sense of fear. We have a sense of surrendering to the external influences on our life. What is happening outside of us as being the prominent decider about how we experience life. And then if we were to move up the scale of human consciousness, we would move away from the external influences of life determining how we experience life. As we move into our truth and we move higher up in the scale of human consciousness, we are more empowered to decide for ourselves how we are experiencing what is going on. And that on that scale of human consciousness, it is quite literally an inside or an outside point of view. If all your beliefs, all your values are determined by events and situations outside of you, you're quite powerless. Everything outside of you holds your power. And that's a separation that creates a disconnect from your truth. Whereas as you move up in consciousness, you invariably move inside of yourself. You connect with the kingdom of heaven within. Religious points of view have showed this with the idea of the kingdom of heaven is within. The Father and I are one now. The source of heaven will be from the inside of us. So the source of our nirvana, when we talk about nirvana, that nirvana is going to be on a flow of consciousness, of inspiration, of passion from the inside of us to the outside of us. That's the process of creation. We can have an idea of heaven, but until we can bring it into the human experience, the flesh and bones experience, it's just an ideology. It's just a thought. It's just a concept. But in order to truly find your own nirvana is to embody it, to bring it completely into the physical arena, completely into the physical attributes of your life. If you look at the mythology of humanity on this planet, we're living in a very small sliver of time. Humanity has populated this planet for thousands and thousands of years. And the ideas, the beliefs, have evolved over and over and over again over the course of our human culture. So here we are living now on planet Earth, and we look at our mythology today. It's like we've opened that book of mythology and we're looking at the story that we believe in today, your own personal mythology, my own personal mythology. What are the belief systems that we have collectively bought into and instilled in our culture? What do those belief systems hold for us as far as truth? Is our belief systems aligned with the truth of the nature of life, the truth of who we are as human beings, the truth of who we are as souls who have embodied in this human experience? It's important to consider our mythology today as it relates to a truth, a universal truth. The truth by itself is timeless. Truth existed before language. Truth existed before religions. Truth existed before the mind was able to conceive the idea of heaven or religion or language. The truth of creation is an absolute, but I suggest the truth of creation is so diverse. In other words, our human consciousness is like a canvas, a blank canvas that any picture can be painted on. If you leaf through a book of mythology, you'll see so many different paintings of consciousness, if you will, so many stories of consciousness. And to every single one who wrote those chapters, what they were living was reinforced by their beliefs. It's done unto you as you believe. Simply by believing something, you're literally embodying it as your own personal truth. And you live it out as a truth that you've personified, if you will. I suggest creation is the canvas without a story on it. Truth existed before language. truth existed before even to tell a story, there's so much structure involved in language, and that structure of language is a byproduct of a culture. So if you look at mythology and you read the stories of these different chapters of humanity on this planet, the context in which they speak from was a byproduct of their past, a byproduct of their history. And so if we look at mythology over time, here we are on planet Earth, and our awareness, if you will, is not very much time in our past. I mean, the Christian modality goes back approximately 2,000 years. That's a drop in the bucket compared to how long this planet has been here and how long human consciousness has been on this planet. And yet, if we were to contextualize the idea of heaven on Earth now, it would be under these veins of beliefs that have come up through our culture and come up through our history. So the idea that I want to talk about tonight is to transcend our own mythology, to be able to step out of the story of our past, to step out of the ideology of what heaven is supposed to be, to step out of the imprinting of our culture, to step out of the collective momentum of beliefs that we're experiencing here on this planet. Well, wait a minute, if I'm going to step out of it, what am I going to step into? Careful what you step into. I suggest that we step into our own inner space. The kingdom of heaven is within. I suggest we step into our own experience of our inner self, that point of presence that is inside every single one of us, that is the root of our consciousness. The kingdom of heaven is within us now. Heaven is within us now. The Father and I are one now. This ideology is pointing to the source of heaven, and it's within us. When we can transcend the mythology of our past, when we can transcend the imprinting of our past, it gives us more freedom to express what we personally are feeling as an inner truth within us. So it's a curious thing when you start to that spiritual journey of wanting to grow yourself and become more spiritual, whatever that means. I think it's all, everything is spirit expressed, so what the hell's spirituality? But when we start on a spiritual journey in the sense of knowing the truth of who we are, that there can be so much imprinting within our own consciousness. There can be so much imprinting within our own belief systems, our own thought processes, our own value systems. Tomorrow's Thanksgiving, and a lot of times in the American culture, the idea of the holidays can bring a sense of family, and sometimes that idea of family isn't really something people are excited about. The idea of going and spending time with their family can bring a sense of drudgery. But I suggest that when you go to your family of origin, what you're observing is the imprinting that you had as a child. When you go to your family of origin and spend time and you observe your family, it gives you an insight into the values and beliefs that you were brought up in. And why do I bring this up at this point? Because the truth with a capital T, truth before language, has an eloquence, has a grace to it that transcends a lot of the language that we use today. When we go to our family of origin and we look at the values and beliefs that were imprinted on our own psyche, this imprinting can literally determine how you see life, how you would describe life, how your own chapter of mythology would look if you were to sit down and journal your experience with life. So let's take a look at what that would look like. The bottom line of what I'm getting to with this conversation in this moment is the idea of personal sovereignty, where souls having a human experience, and yet we've had this imprinting from our own family dynamics, our family of origin. So perhaps you're going to visit family tomorrow or over the holidays, and you might have mixed feelings about that. Well, when you look at family dynamics, there tends to be some core attributes that apply themselves to any family structure. One of those is what was valued. What was valued in the family? If a family was in economic struggle, it might be valued to be frugal. It might be valued to be thrifty. If everything in that family dynamic was weighed against the economics of living, when you could reinforce survival at the economic level, you were valued. If you could bring home unexpected income, if you could be frugal enough as not to weigh down the family finances, you would be valued. And in that example, what was valued was the financial or economic structure or dynamics of the how the family operated. If you take the family dynamics and apply it to religion, in my family dynamics, religion was paramount. Religion was like huge. It was like the elephant in the room. And everything was weighed towards religion. It was this 24/7 kind of mentality. And in a sense, that infatuation, that extreme valuation of the idea of religion, downplayed the individual. It downplayed us as people. It was almost like God was bigger than us in the sense of importance. It didn't matter. I laugh now because as I say this, it's like, well, it doesn't matter if we're there or not as long as we acknowledge God. And it's like, well, if there's nobody there, who can acknowledge God? So what the hell? I mean, do I mean something or not? In my family dynamics, religion was paramount. Everything was weighed against the consequence from a religious point of view. It was very important to be perceived as a family of righteous churchgoers, righteous human beings whose choices were in alignment with the ideology of the church. And so if I were to reinforce the values of my family, I would adhere to the belief systems of the church. Doesn't matter what church it is, really. So the values of that family dynamics was based on religion. Of course, there was when we talk about the dynamics of these family structures, there's many value systems that can apply. Not only was the household that I was raised in very much religiously oriented, but there was also an economic value. There was also a social value. And so the dynamics of how we were brought up can really decide our personal sovereignty. If our family dynamics, if our family belief systems are not in alignment with the nature of the truth, then they themselves can deter us from being able to fully embody the idea of heaven on earth. In other words, our own personal mythology, our own personal story can be the very place where we are stuck the most. It can be a bold move to give yourself permission to transcend the mythology of your family. It can be a bold move to be the one that chooses to think new thoughts. But if you do, that opens the door towards freedom. Freedom to move closer to the universal truth, the universal nature of human consciousness, to be able to embody the idea of heaven on earth in a more authentic and fundamental way. When we review, when we look at our family dynamics, it can give us insights into how we see ourselves in relationship to our culture, to our religion, to our economic beliefs. And when we can understand some of the imprinting that we've seen through visiting our family and observing the family dynamics, to observe what is valued and what is believed, it can afford us insights into our own self. In order to have personal sovereignty, is to be so truthful, so genuinely truthful with yourself from an inside point of view. Not from an outside point of view, from an inside point of view, you are a soul who is embodied in a human being. And here you are in your physical body. I'm talking to your soul, you as a soul in your body. Your soul has an idea of what your life can be. Your soul has a vision. Your soul has a dream of what your life can be. And many, many, many times on this planet, a soul will embody into a belief system that is not congruent with the dream of that person's life. It's almost like reality crashers. If a family dynamic is so skewed, so strewed away from the truth, you can be the soul that comes into the family dynamic to break it open, from the imprinting of the past, from the belief systems of the past that don't honor the truth of what heaven can look like. It can take a bold soul to recognize this, and sometimes this recognition can happen at a very early age. To be a bold soul and know from within that your that feeling that your soul feeds you, a knowingness that comes from within. When you stay in step with that, when you stay in tune with that and honor that, regardless of the mythology of your past, you can be the doorway to heaven on earth, to heaven in your own family dynamic. Mythology can be an expensive thing to carry around, especially when it's incongruent with the nature of truth. There's a lot of belief systems in our culture, in our society, that don't honor the nature of heaven on earth. The ability to own your own personal sovereignty. In other words, to give yourself permission to value what you believe individually, incidental of the past, incidental of those outside of you. When you can give yourself permission to own who you are and then bring it into your life and embody it, that is the thing itself. The truth has an elegance to it, an eloquence to it. The wake of the truth is grace. To know the truth is to know who you are from the inside out. So many times when we meet people, they'll have a mask on. They'll have a belief system on. They'll have a ideology on. Sometimes they want to be seen as a particular way. They're showing you a mask of who they think you might like, or a mask of who they think they want to be. But in truth, there is no illusion. There is no mask. There's only authenticity. There's only the reality of the moment expressed. And sometimes that reality doesn't even need language, because language by its very nature, the more language you use, the more context you bring, and the less diversity, the less freedom, sovereignty you have. There's a grace to just the observation of what is. Sometimes I think trying to put things in language is where we can lose the most subtle aspects, the most authentic aspects of the nature of being true to who we are. So when we talk about finding your own nirvana, We have this mythology from our family, mythology of the belief systems we were taught in school or taught in church. We have this ideology that our minds were raised in, or the belief systems we were taught, the emotional posturing, the mental constructs that were valued. And that's the momentum, the karmic momentum, if you will, of the past. And then we've talked about personal sovereignty. And personal sovereignty is an extremely powerful concept. I very much recommend thinking about and contemplating the nature of personal sovereignty from a soul's perspective. When we look at the history of history on the planet, there's been very bold people. For example, Gandhi. Gandhi is in India, and the British Empire shows up, and they want to have a war, and they want to have dominion over India. Well, if Gandhi had conjured up a war machine and brought it to war, it's very likely the British would have won the war and it'd been a British colony. But Gandhi had the personal sovereignty to listen to an inner knowingness. We live in a culture right now that can be so quick to war, can be so quick to bringing force to the resolution of our differences. But Gandhi, through his own personal sovereignty, through his own personal knowingness, I don't know if he had an example of what he lived growing up. My sense is he probably didn't. But what he has shown us is the idea of peace is more powerful than the concept of war. He proved it. The history books tell the tale. India is not a British country. It's not a British property. They stayed independent, and they did it with peace. Gandhi had an idea from the inside of the nature of the power of an idea. And he had the personal sovereignty. He had the personal sovereignty to honor his own inner idea, even though it wasn't replicated in mass outside of him. And he had the personal power, he had the personal gumption to stay fast to that idea of peace. And he kept to it through the entire conflict. He had that kind of a personal resolution, that personal resolve. So here we are talking about finding your own nirvana. We're living in a mythology right now, a mythology, a chapter of our human story. There's all these belief systems that are being projected and portrayed through our human nature, our human culture, our human story. And so much of it has nothing to do with the truth. It's just a conjured storyline that we've vested our beliefs in. And here comes you. You. You're listening to this. You're a soul in a human body. Your soul had a vision for your life. Your soul had an idea of a possibility of this being called you. And here you are now, listening to this story, listening to this ideology. humanity knows at a very fundamental level how incongruent we are. Many, many people are not willing to believe the mythology that we've conjured up for ourselves because of how far away from the truth we have gotten. And so here you are now, listening to a story about finding your own nirvana, your own heaven on earth. You're living a personal mythology. You were raised in a family with a belief system, with a story, with a mythology that you've grown up with. But now the winds of change are blowing so fiercely through the hearts and souls of humanity, including you. Your story, your journey up to this moment has brought you life lessons, understandings, perceptions of the nature of this mythology that we're living out right now. So many of the souls that have been born on this planet now are powerful souls, are very powerful souls, and I have to believe you're one of them. Your soul has an idea for your life that transcends the past, that transcends the illusion, that transcends the incongruent beliefs of the past. So how do you bring that about? How do you embody such a bold idea, this bold idea called you? How bold do you want to be? I suggest you get a saddle and some gloves and hold on tight, because when you truly learn to trust yourself, when you truly learn to trust your own inner knowingness above all else, and the reason you trust it is because you live there, when you can come from that space, from that inner knowingness, and give yourself the personal sovereignty, the personal permission slip, the personal right to live the truth, to be the truth, to embody the truth, you will be the face of change itself. Humanity has gotten so far off the idea or belief of heaven on earth, of the truth with a capital T. There's so much belief that doesn't work. It doesn't have a future to it because it's not aligned with the truth. When you can be the one to honor your own personal inspiration of the truth from within you, you're transcending the mythology of the past. You're literally becoming a point of presence of higher consciousness for humanity. You're literally rising above the dogma, the karma of the past on this planet. And when you do that, you move into more congruency, more alignment with the nature of the truth of what is. The truth has existed for all eternity, and it doesn't change. We're living on a breathing canvas of possibilities. It is done unto you as you believe. Ask and it is given. Humanity has always been a platform of creation. We are here to co-create a mythology that is in more alignment with the truth than we have experienced in the past. And when you choose to give yourself the personal sovereignty to show up embodying the truth, that alignment itself is the point of presence of heaven within you. The kingdom of heaven is within. That point of presence that you are the seed of heaven. The seed of heaven is within you now. And truth is the conveyor of heaven. Alignment with the truth, when you are aligned with the truth, it affords you the ability to embody heaven. When your belief systems, when your thoughts, your feelings are in alignment with the truth, that affords you the ability to embody the nature of heaven into the physical realm on this planet called Earth now. Do you want to know what nirvana is? Do you want to live a nirvana that is so ecstatic to your mind, to your ego? Embody heaven on earth. Heaven is within you now. Truth comes from the inside. When you can trust your own relationship with the truth above the mythology that is playing out outside of you, you can be that Gandhi. You can be that point of presence. You can be the persona, the soul embodied that is bringing the truth of what is into the mythology of our past. That gives you an opportunity to be a point of presence, to be the seed of heaven on earth. Your soul has a dream for your life, and that dream is handcrafted just for you. That dream for your life was handcrafted by your soul. Your soul knows all about you. Your soul has a vision of you that transcends your ego's ability to comprehend. When you learn how to connect with your soul by letting down your mask, by surrendering the idea of the past, by giving yourself personal sovereignty to have that new idea, then the idea of your soul, the idea of your soul can be personified through you. The untethered soul. The untethered soul. Gandhi went through that experience without a lot of history showing the way. He trusted his sense of the truth from the inside. Your soul has an idea for your life. When you can be still in your mind, to slow your thoughts down, to slow your thoughts down enough to tell where they're coming from. because thoughts can come from your ego, and they tend to happen fast and frequent and not have a whole lot of diversity. And then there's ideas from your soul. Your ideas from your soul at first don't come that often because they can't get any landing spot in your mind. If your ego is going 900 miles an hour, sentence after sentence, thought after thought, the thought of your soul can show up and disappear as quickly as all the other thoughts in your head. By slowing down and connecting with your soul, and by being still, by being still, the presence of your soul is a field. It's a field of consciousness. Your soul exists an awful lot without the need for a sentence, without a need for a language. It's a vibrational field within your persona now. When you slow down and you're present within your own persona, you can learn to recognize this field, this point of presence that is your soul. Your soul is what's making your heart beat. It's what's making your lungs breathe. And thank goodness for that. All those things are automatic for us. How convenient. When you can connect with your soul to the point that every single thought that your soul feeds you, you capture, you recognize, you're cognitive of, and you have the personal sovereignty that you do not bring it into judgment. In other words, there's no vetting required. There's no rationalizing required. There's no critical thinking required. When your soul has given you a thought, given you an idea, it instantly becomes an action item for you to fulfill in the moment. There's a very, very glorious thing that happens when you can get that down. Because you're effectively pulling the steering wheel off of life and handing it up to your soul. For so many of us, our egos are trying to drive our life. Our egos are trying to manage and manipulate all these external events, all these external circumstances outside of us, trying to create a sense of grace over a period of time where we can feel a sense of relief from the struggle. But that's never lasting. The ego will not be able to sustain nirvana in any kind of a lasting way. But when you can be still and cognitive, to be able to recognize the ideas that are coming from your heart and your soul, and then to take action on them, that is the doorway to living your own nirvana. That is the doorway to living heaven on earth. Your life is the canvas that your soul paints. Your life is the brush. Your life is the point of presence that your soul has to influence your human experience. And when you can align with the ideology, the belief, the vision that your soul has for your life, and discipline yourself with an absolute trust in that vision to the point where you fulfill the inspiration instantaneously without hesitation, you've created a flow, a movement, an untethered flow of soul expression. Your soul's ability to express through your life as you. When you can embody that as a sense of reflex, as a sense of habit, you create a flow in your life. Your dreams will expand. Your dreams will encompass your potential. Your dreams will encompass your passion and your purpose. When you show up to capture the inspiration of your heart and your soul and bring that inspiration into action, you will feel nirvana fulfilled. You will feel your potential actualized. Your heart, your soul, and your ego will all experience the fulfillment of the dream of you, the potential of you, the passion of you, the idea of who you are expressed, personified, where the mythology that you're living is the truth of you expressed in an untethered and an unbridled way. You give yourself the personal sovereignty to transcend the mythology of the past and fulfill the inspiration of the present. At that point, you will experience nirvana. You will experience an ever-expanding expression of you, an ever-expanding expression of who you are. Every single day you will be born again. Wow. Wow. How cool is that? My passion is to awaken the passion in you. I created New Human Living to help people understand the nature of the truth of what is possible in our human experience. There's some really fundamental ways that we take on karma and we take on story and we put on a mask, and there's fundamental ways to take it off. I wrote Personal Power Fundamentals as an organic point of view about the nature of this human experience we're having and how to capture your potential and how to show up for your life. How bold do you want to live? How big do you want to dream? Life is here for you. Thrust in your sickle. Trust your journey. Well, the hour goes by fast. It's been a delight. I'm glad you joined us. Share this episode with a friend. Go to New Human Living and look up the radio episodes and download them and listen to them on your commute. We're here to help you. I'm so glad you joined us tonight. Happy Thanksgiving.
This has been a New Human Living radio broadcast. You can raise your own personal power with Personal Power Fundamentals Home Study Course at newhumanliving.com. Thanks for listening.